When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I don't have a philosophical wondering today, nor do I have a tip kind of topic for today. What I'm really fascinated by today is something that I kind of wanted to pitch to the audience and see what everybody else thinks about this. This is something that I've been kind of cooking in my brain for some time now and pitching it around to some cartoonist buddies. And thought I'd throw it at the Supreme Sturriers as some food for thought to get some conversation going on this. And it mostly revolves around the future of the 24-hour comic and the future of the convention in regards to the internet. And it seems to me that we have some opportunities here to create some new, entirely new ways to approach making comics and talking about comics through the internet, beyond this whole podcasting thing and beyond art casts. I think art casts are a step in the right direction because they offer interactivity. I think one of the failings of podcasting is it's still broadcasting. And although it is way more interactive than traditional broadcasting, that still lacks that live interaction with an audience, the live conversation that you can get with a lot of different people. It's great, but it's there's still so much more we can do. If we think of the internet as this vehicle for communication and sharing of ideas, how can we further facilitate that? And there's some great conversation going on in the Art and Story Forum right now about the 24-hour comic. We'll start with that. This is something that I am, I've been fascinated by as a project to take on a 24-hour comic someday. Although the more I think about it, the more I think the 24-hour comic, looking at it as a strict kind of exercise, it just becomes an exercise. It can have a social component if you get together with some buddies, either online or at a jointly run studio or at a coffee shop, whatever, and just stay up for 24 hours and work together. Or even if you're just talking on the phone. I know that some people have done that. Like, they'll do the 24-hour comic and they'll just call their buddies for moral support or talk their way through it, talk over Skype or whatever. But how can you open up that experience more to make it even more interactive with the general public? And as you probably won't be surprised to hear me say this, but I'm much more interested in how can we make the process more apparent to the general public as a means to further advocate our art form, make the public more aware of what goes into this stuff and make people appreciate it a little bit more deeply. So an idea that I've been playing with, and this would take a lot of organization, but the idea I had was, what if you did a 48-hour comic? And just like how, actually, let me back up for a second. Let's talk about mini comics just for a second. Mini comics historically have been thought of as a quick and dirty, done in one, belt the thing out in 8 pages and get it printed through Kinko's or a copy shop. Don't be terribly worried about the production values. That's not to say, I don't mean to say this in any kind of disparaging way. I'm just saying that that's traditionally what people think of when they think of a mini comic, this 50-cent little fun thing that you did. And I think that mini comics in that regard are very cool. But what else can you do with it? That's an interesting question to me. And that's something that we've talked about in the Art and Story podcast before, is like, how can we explore that same format, but let's raise the production values. Let's do a really polished story with, and what kind of production values can we bring to the final product to make it an art piece in and of itself, something that's worth keeping on the coffee table. And that's when we've done things like the Rocketosaurus mini comic I did with my wife, the Dino Love mini comic I did with my wife, Tiny Hamilton. Kevin Cross has done a bunch of these mini comics. Mark has been experimenting with, sort of these, the Rudy size, as Kevin coined it, which is a slightly smaller comic that he does through a print on demand company, a local one. But doing these quick little short stories, but try to raise the production value and approach the project with the same kind of intentionality and focus that we would put into a traditionally published comic book or graphic novel. Okay, let's take that philosophy and let's map it onto the 24-hour comic now. This is where it gets interesting for me. is what if you took 48 hours and you assembled a team, you get five people together, and the five people sit down and hash out the story as best they can in a couple hours. And if you've been doing this a while, you should be able to do that pretty quickly. And especially if you've got five minds in the room, as long as you guys aren't all fighting, you should be able to put together something pretty serviceable. And then for the remaining 48 hours, you divide up the workload. Okay, well, so-and-so, okay, let's just say it's Mark, me, Kevin, and Sarah, because that's an easy example to pull out. Is okay, Jers and Sarah, you guys are good to thumbnail the 24 pages. Jers, you get the first 12. Sarah, you get the second 12. And as soon as you're done thumbnailing, you pass off the thumbnails to Mark for penciling. Sarah, your second half goes to Kevin for penciling. And as soon as Mark's done penciling a page, he bats it back to me for inking. And same with Kevin and Sarah. Kevin bats his pages back to Sarah for inking. And this is just an example, mind you. This is just a way to sort of describe how you could break up the workload. And you pass the pages back and forth between everybody involved. Like maybe you bring in a fifth person, you know, it's like we bring in say, Jim Lujan or somebody. And he colors the pages as they're finished. And this was sort of born out of a story I once heard about a group of 1950s comic book artists who were faced with a deadline. I think on Friday they were told, oh, by Monday we need a 60 page or 80 page comic. I don't remember the final page count, but it was something huge. And so this cartoonist faced with this deadline got like six or seven of his buddies together. They locked themselves in a hotel room and just drew all weekend. And it was not the greatest comic of all time. It wasn't something for the ages, but they met their deadline and they had a finished comic book, fully penciled, inked, and lettered and written. You know, that there's something kind of macho about that in my mind. I love that idea. So taking that and mapping it onto the 24-hour comic, making it a 48-hour comic, but a 48-hour comic where instead of having this quick and dirty sort of expressionistic exploration of comic storytelling, let's try to actually produce something that is sellable at the end of that 48 hours. And this is where it gets even more interesting, because now we live in the age of the internet. How could you do that and broadcast the entire event? This is something that I have been, like I said, I've been planning to do something like this in the future. I don't have any time to do it right now. Neither do any of the people I work with. So it'll have to wait for now. But the idea is this, is that we record and broadcast live the story breakdown conversations, and then we Ustream the entire process as it's going on for 48 hours. So for 48 hours, there'll be this internet event where you got four screens up on a page, and oh, there's Sarah inking the page right now that Jersey penciled before, and oh, Jersey's working on the colors for the page that Sarah finished or that Mark finished or whatever, and you watch this comic come together, and then at the end of it, this is where you'd have to coordinate with a printer, is at the end of it, you submit it at the 47th hour, you submit the final pages to a printer, and then it's up for sale at the end of that 48 hours. I think that would be a really interesting project, to take the 24-hour comic and sort of elevate it into this kind of this marathon of comics creation that becomes an event for people to watch. It teaches people more about the process in a very short time. And it becomes kind of like a little bit of a bragging rights thing. It's like, yeah, you know that 24-page comic that is $4? Yeah, we did that in a weekend. And we had no idea what we were going to do when we started. That'd be a pretty empowering thing for a group, too. So that's something that I've been kicking around, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. It would be interesting to me to even extend it out into an Art and Storier event. Like, here's the Art and Storiers doing 48-hour comics, and we put all of the images, all of the video feeds on one page for people to watch. I think that'd be pretty cool. It'd be a way for you guys to get your feet wet collaborating with other people. Sink or swim, you know? You have a deadline. You got to make it. Let's talk about conventions. Now, as you know, I am a co-organizer of the Kids Read Comics Convention, and now a co-organizer with Mark and Kevin and Sarah and Sean Robert and Carrie Robert and my wife Anne for the Up Fair. News will be coming out about the Up Fair soon, I promise. And I feel very proud of these events, in that these are, at least speaking only for myself, these are my answer to what I think is fundamentally flawed with traditional American comic book conventions. And I think, at least in year one of Kids Read Comics, and from what it's looking like year two, is doing a good job of answering that question. But there's still a flaw with having a local event. I like having local events. I'm very excited about Kids Read Comics 2010 because we're going to be in Dearborn, Michigan, which is a traditionally underserviced area. The kids there do not have access to resources the way people in Manhattan or Los Angeles do. But so that's the positive side of a local event. But the downside is that I get emails from people from across the world saying, gosh, I wish I could be there. And yeah, it's too expensive. That's the big drawback of a local convention is that only a certain number of people get to come to this thing. Unless we take the act on the road, which is financially impossible right now, we're limiting ourselves to a small group of people or people with financial means to actually fly out for this thing. So how do you answer that? Well, I think that the next thing I want to take on, and this is obviously, this is next year, maybe even the year after, but I want to start laying the groundwork now, is virtual conventions. I've heard whisperings that there's stuff like this going on already. And Mark and I talked about this with Krishna Sadasivam on an old episode of Art and Story Alive. We kind of broached the topic and just kind of wondered aloud about it. And it has never left the back of my brain. It's still kicking around. But this idea of essentially virtual storefronts, you would have a web page where there is a chat client, there is a Skype client going on, you know, like Skype conversations, and live video feeds of the creators, quote unquote, tabling. And underneath their video feed and chat feed and Skype feed would be listings of their books. And the listings would have preview pages, so you could flip through as if you're at the table, and you could talk with the creator directly. So Artist Alley would be virtually infinite because there's no limit to how many video feeds you could put on a page. There's no limit to how many people could participate in something like that. The cost of tabling would be nothing. There's no travel expenses involved. All you need is a good video camera and microphone and the willingness to participate. And then you bolster that with online comics workshops. So now we have a Kids Read Comics that's global. And yes, it lacks that face-to-face kind of touch that you get when you are in the same physical space as somebody else. But the gains you get in reaching a wide audience, underserviced areas, people who just don't have the financial means to travel, is huge. But again, that would require an immense amount of organization. It would require an immense amount of training because not everybody knows how to do video broadcasting and configuring their video feeds to be embedded on a web page. It's easier, and I think it's only going to get easier. And I think that's one of the reasons why this needs to wait another year or maybe two, is once it becomes push button, once it becomes hit A, B, and C, and now you're broadcasting, so that anybody can do it. I think then that's when that thing finally becomes really feasible. And plus, there's still, you know, not everybody has broadband or not everybody has the internet resources to participate in something like that. So I think it's still a little too early to try this. But like I said, I think that the time is fast approaching where that will be another model to explore. And I am very interested in trying that out as well. So what's the takeaway? What's the big idea behind what I've just proposed? Is that we should always, always be thinking, whether we're making a story or whether we're thinking about promoting our story, is how can we use whatever means we're using in a way that it does it best? What's the best way to do a local event? What's the best way to do an internet event? What's the best way to do a 24-hour comic on the internet? So that it's not just, oh, well, here's a collection of feeds of different people working on a 24-hour comic independently. I think that would be interesting, but I think it would become much more fascinating if it becomes a collaborative event that you have a sellable product at the end of that. It becomes something that people will be impressed by. They'll say, wow, this book is, you know, I paid $4 for it, and I actually feel that it was money well spent. You did this in 48 hours? That's amazing. I think that could be pretty cool. And like I said, if you want to chime in on this, I'd love to hear from you guys in the forum with any thoughts you may have on this whole virtual thing. And I'm sure there's ideas that I haven't even thought of yet that I would love if anybody else wanted to pitch in on. Start using the forum as a brainstorming session for different kinds of virtual events and ways to start doing more of this comics advocacy work in a public way, using some of these different kinds of activities that have been in existence for about 10, 15 years now. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for your support of this project. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate you telling us that you find this material, this content valuable. And we've been getting emails from you guys thanking us for the content. Your financial support is thanks enough, but it means the world to us to know that not only do you feel that it's worth a little bit of money, but also that you're actually getting value beyond to the point where you take the time to share some kind thoughts about it. That is incredibly empowering. We really appreciate it. Okay, so I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Hovar and Justin certainly had a narrow escape, didn't they? But when one is an explorer or a scientist like Hovar, wild animals are only one of the many dangers you face. And yet, throughout the course of history, there have been brave men and heroic women ready and eager to be the first to face the unknown, to challenge its dangers so that others might follow without fear. It is to these unsung heroes that we owe so much. See you soon with another exciting adventure.